Yeah, how do I sound, Mr. Wayne? The level's correct. I'm just trying to keep it kosher. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yo, check this out. Driving around town, top down, black Benzo. Of course, I'm blasting my HD radio. Monday through Friday, 8 to 11. My dial's locked on that hot talk station. Tim Conway Jr., his show's so great. OG Valley Stud repping 818. Been hearing forever how his dad's so good, but you won't find a dude who's less Hollywood. At 97.1, I'm his biggest fan, but he still needs a partner. Yeah, I said it, man. Hey, Jerry, cue up that big red mic. Make it hot. Let the stud start the show.
All right. Welcome, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. And if it's Wednesday, it must mean my very good friend Arsenio Hall is with us. Nice to see you, dude.
What it means is that you and I have been preparing for 4 hours and keeping the comedy fresh. And here it is, 8 o'clock. Here we go, man.
We just both strolled in. Also, we have two very, very popular Hollywood celebrities with us.
Very, very popular.
The names, they will...
And very kind celebrities.
You know, like real dudes, not the a-holes.
The Henry Winkler mold, like talented people who are also wonderful people.
Yeah, you know? James Eckhouse is with us. Yes. You remember from 90210, and also Malcolm Dinar from
which is a black name.
Yeah, CSI Miami.
CSI Miami. Nice to see you, fellas.
Hello.
All
Hello,
right, greetings. You guys are doing a new play in town.
We are,
but then we'll get to that. But first, big news today. With our very good friend Ed McMahon. What's going on with this guy?
I don't know. I sold him his first house, and I thought that he could do better, but something happened along the way.
I broke in his first house.
$600,000.
$600,000, huh, man? Yeah.
The guy is behind.
That's more than I owe right now. That's scary. Yeah.
That's more than my house is worth.
Guys, time out. I saw Doc Severinsen partying with P. Diddy one night. I know Ed has some money.
Ed's got something.
Got money. Like, come on, let's break this down. This can't be exactly what's going on. Right. There's deception here.
No, something else is happening here because, first of all, he hired a PR guy to let everybody know. And anytime you hire a PR person to be the front man, there's more to the story. Or else you just say it yourself, right? You know?
Absolutely.
I got to say, in Ed's favor, when I was first out in Hollywood, I was doing a play with Morgan Fairchild, and she had invited me to Easter Sunday brunch at the Polo Lounge, and I walk in, and there's Ed McMahon. And, you know, I was just huge. I was like, gaga, right. You know? And I sat down with him, and he was the most charming, gracious guy. I mean, he was fantastic. But I had never been in Hollywood before. I'm from New York. I'm living in a tiny apartment, and all they talk about was... real estate. That's all they talked about.
Right?
So, you know, hey, and now it's, 10 years later and 600 G's.
You know, yeah. I used to, before I was doing a radio show, I drove a limousine for a company called Revel Travel.
Which still miffs me.
Right, yeah. And
did you ride with him, Arsenio?
No,
once?
No, I never drove Arsenio.
I'm just curious. If God would have given me that moment.
But I did drive Ed McMahon. I remember picking him up from the airport. And he had his own like little bag with him, and he was holding his own bag. He didn't have a big entourage or anything, so I'm not sure where all this money is going to. But I pick him up at the airport, and I'm driving him back to his place. He lived he lived in Bel Air at the time, I think in a condo. And as I'm dropping him off, I said, "Hey, you need help up with your bag?" And he goes, "What?" And I said, "You need help with your bag upstairs." He goes, "What?"
And I said, talk about my wife.
I said, "You need help with the bag upstairs." He goes, "No." So he goes upstairs and he left a little briefcase in the car. So I go up and knock on the door. He goes, "Who is it?" And I go, "I just dropped you off." He goes, "What?" I go, "I just dropped you off." And I thought, "Oh, this guy's deaf, right?" So he opens the door and I give him the briefcase and I look at him. And you remember the old airplane earphones that has the little rubber things in it?
Right.
And there was a hose that goes down to the seat.
Yeah.
And he had both those things
still stuck in his ear. Right.
Did you ever take those airplane the things in? Once they were in your ears, you would blow through it. You'd feel the air go through the thing.
Yeah, you blow my little brothers, you blow their eardrums.
Yeah, it was like eardrums, right.
We were long way from the iPhone. Technology was a long way away.
Yeah, it was just air that went from the seat.
There was no music,
ear.
Just air, but it was good.
Right.
You know, it was.
How about some kite string and a couple cans going to the armrest here?
But getting back to this Ed McMahon, he owes $600,000 on his house.
And $500,000 to me.
Yeah, right. Just so and it's a $6 million house that he owns in Beverly Hills. And I did a little quick math here. If he had a 6.5 mortgage, that seems reasonable. It's not high. It's not low. It's about mid-range.
Yeah.
He would owe, I think, $37,000 a month on his house. That means he's 15 months behind in his payment. Well, if I was 15 months behind in my payment, Bank America would own my home.
Yeah.
I wouldn't own my home.
First of all, I'm impressed that talking to you is like sitting around with Price Waterhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, the math was. You know who I hang out with. So, did y'all follow that?
No, and Tim's going to do our mortgage next, which is really great. I'm very excited about
that. Talking about owing, 10 years ago, you and I made a bet that Godzilla would make over $100 million. I made a bet that it would make $100 million.
Malcolm
Nunow
was in Godzilla, just
right.
So everybody
okay,
knows.
Fine.
Yes. Star of Godzilla.
That's how he opens up about his career.
Here we go. Yeah. Come on, I'm not that Hollywood, Tim. I'm really not
that
Hollywood.
I know. Don't just bust your balls.
Okay, now I've got $50 here, right here, that I made a bet with you.
And I owe you that money?
No, I owe you this money.
And you know it's 50 because at home you can hear
I owe you $50 because I said Godzilla would...
But the interest is it makes it up to $600,000. And if Ed is here, I think we can work something out.
Oh, yeah, give it to Ed McMahon.
You just don't want me to give it to him.
No, give him the money, Malcolm. It's crazy.
You want the money,
I need the money. He owes me more than that.
So I bet that Godzilla would make less than
$100 million. And I said, no, wait, Tim, it's going to make over $100 million.
How much should it make?
That weekend? Yeah. I think it made like $72 million or something like that.
Oh, you
that.
Thought an opening weekend would make $100 million?
Yeah, it would make $100 million.
Oh, I
so
see.
We bet that, and I owe you
hey,
$50.
Hey, excellent. Thank you very much. Well, let's give it to Ed McMahon.
I'm handing $50 to Tim right
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that, man. Now I can give it to Arsenio because
right.
I remember I told you the Lakers weren't going to make the playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah, we talked. Okay, so wait a minute. Here's my.
So wait
and
a minute.
Then Arsenio,
just
do you remember you had a bet?
Listen, y'all.
Money from the white man.
Arsenio, can I have
Arsenio, we made a bet that you would never do a radio show with me. Do you remember it was like 50? Come on. Remember it was like 10 years ago.
And it was all, I wouldn't do it and in women's underwear.
That was right.
And
yeah.
I clearly
and
wearing
are
a bra
wearing
under
this shirt.
Here's your money, man.
Tim, did you really actually owe him $50?
I did owe him $50.
Well, then
because at the beginning of the season, he said, you know, the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. I said, they're not going to make the playoffs. They got a bunch of crappy players. And he goes, nah. He goes, they're going to make a big deal about midway through the season and they're going to make the playoffs. And that's exactly what happened. Not only did they make the playoffs, but now they're in the the NBA Finals.
I mean, I believe that Kobe and Kel Burnett could make the playoffs. You know, I mean, he's an amazing athlete. So.
And she's pretty funny, so the two of them
exactly.
together would be...
Yeah. That's how she defends
Tim,
people.
I got to ask one more thing. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Now, I just gave Arsenio $50, okay?
Right.
Now, my buddy said that I would give you the $50 and he would go, nah, and he'd say, nah, Malcolm, keep the $50.
No,
keep
he didn't.
$50.
You know what?
So, Arsenio, you
know what?
You
here's the problem. Here's the problem. You and your boys are from the television business.
Okay,
and radio, I have learned, they keep
they
their
keep
money.
That 50.
I'm talking about what Morgan Freeman might do.
You on Channel 13.
Morgan Fantala, somebody named Morgan.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
In radio, they keep the damn money when you hand
you
it to
them. You
okay,
betcha. Fine. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's why we asked you to come in, hoping you'd remember that bet.
Okay, fine.
All right, James Eckhouse is with us, also Malcolm Dinar, and Arsenio Hall
is with us.
Him. Now, Arsenio knows these other guys. Anytime somebody in Hollywood goes broke, there's a certain part of...
I've smoked weed with him. I think that's where he's going.
Yeah. There's a certain part of the public.
After the show?
He's got some on him.
Yeah. Okay.
Matter of fact, here's a sort of an embarrassing story, but somebody actually at this station gave Arsenio a little bag of weed that must have been as big as my thumb.
Are you allowed
right?
to say that?
Oh, yeah, because his heart was in the right place.
Okay,
but he literally gave Arsenio Hall a bag of weed, and it was as big as a quarter, right?
Wow.
And Arsenio's like...
You might think some horrible things about me, but the one thing that you have to say... is I have weed money.
Now you do.
And for a guy to give me 14 cents worth of weed. but you know what?
14 cents worth of weed.
He gave me the weed. He said, you could. I don't even think it was enough for a joint.
Yeah,
because
it was enough for a joint.
It was not enough for a joint.
No, it was not enough
so
for
what were you
going
to do with it?
I don't know, but he.
Put
but what
brownie,
he was trying to say was, "I dig you, man. I'm a fan. I like you." And and I took it from that place.
Right.
You know. Well, thank you for the.
I don't want you to get high. I don't want you to get too high. You know, but just a little high.
You know, that's
is that what he's saying.
I dig you, and this is that crazy Kush.
so I'm going to give you 13 cents worth of it because you're old.
But did you act like you were really high afterwards?
Huh? I didn't even smoke it.
You know what? I saw him a week later and I pretended like, yo, man, I don't know what it was, but I'm still looking for some food that would satisfy my needs. You know?
I bet it went home and was just thrown in the big trash can of weed.
I stuck it in my dog's mouth and he said, you must be out your damn mind. Put 13 cents worth of weed in my mouth.
Have you ever tried the chocolate marijuana? You know, the prescription kind?
That was his old nickname.
Chocolate marijuana.
Chocolate marijuana, yeah.
I'm chocolate marijuana up in this place. No, what is that, man? Explain it's, that.
Well, I have a friend who...
And he happens to
he
have
gave
some.
Me, no. Yeah. He gave me this this chocolate bar, and he said, why don't you try this one night? And I said, now, I have never, I swear to you, I've never been high in my life.
Right. I'm not sure what this gesture is.
He put up the two. It looked like Nixon.
Like, yeah,
for
Nixon. Harry. Peace signs.
Thank you very much.
I've never smoked any kind of Purple Kush or 707 headband. It was fabulous.
So I ate. If my mom's listening,
putting
I am
quotes around his own lies.
Oh man! I can't believe what I'm saying. So I ate three pieces of this chocolate, and nothing happened.
And it had weed in it, huh?
It had weed in it.
Like
and nothing
THC,
happened.
Like brownies
until
or cookies.
Hour,
yeah.
Until
like
an,
THC.
Yeah, yeah. But until
but
an
it was
hour
medicinal,
later,
Arsenio.
I was lying
medicinal.
On my bed.
Oh.
And next thing I know, I started seeing the alphabet come at me like a big A and a big B and a big C.
And they began to lick me and I heard Sam Kinison's voice. It was frightening.
It was the
that wasn't the weed, man. That was heroin. Yeah. In that chocolate.
Now, this was when he was in kindergarten, of course. So the B, the C, you know. So.
Of course. Then 13 cents worth of marijuana would kill you in kindergarten.
But see, this is how he'll tell the story off the air. Because he's told me the same story off the air. He said, I was sitting in bed and I see these letters come after me. And it's C and it's S and it's I. Did I tell you I was in CSI Miami?
Yeah,
perfect marketing.
Yeah, opening up about his career again, man.
Paul Block would be happy to hear you do that.
All right. James Eckhouse is with us. Also Malcolm Denara and also Arsenio Hall. Now, you know celebrities that have gone broke, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who was the guy? Hammer had some problems, huh?
Did Hammer have money problems? Mm.
I think he did, didn't he?
Well, absolutely, Tim.
Yeah. Oh. Story was looking at me like, oh my God.
You must not read anything. That's sad the black man don't understand that Hammer has lost all his money.
Now, what happened there with this guy? He had the entourage.
You know, Hammer was too nice. Hammer would give you a salary if you stood on the stage with a cane. You know,
right?
Hammer was that kind of guy. He took care of everybody from Oakland who ever needed anything.
Right.
You know, he would send Willie Brown blank checks just for fun.
Wow.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
He was a nice guy. And you know what? A lot of people who go broke, it's not always because they had jet planes. Sometimes it's because they overextend themselves with family. And I guess education is a part of it, too. Often money's thrusted upon you without the knowledge to handle that success,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But now you've saved all your dough, right?
I give my money to Wayne Newton.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenio.
That's kind of.
Arsenio puts it into Arabian horses for him.
Arsenio won't talk about this on the air unless you know, he's stoned. But he has sent 10 kids to college. Was it 8 or 10?
I've sent 10.
10 kids to college.
Yes.
Full rides, right?
Not my two, though, thank
no,
you very
not
much.
My, yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Probably kids that went to junior college and lived at home. But he sent 10 kids for a full college ride, and out of all 10 kids that he put through college, none of them called to say thank you.
But one's mother, one's mom called.
Isn't that wild?
None. Yeah.
I was telling Tim.
Did they know that you sent them to college?
Yeah, but here's the deal. Because they won something from my scholarship fund and by writing me a letter and telling and getting the right grades and all those kind of things. But and plus,
Arsenio,
if you couldn't afford
to
go to school and somebody sent you,
you're
researching. You know, somebody sent me to school. I should find out who did that. But here's the problem. What I'm telling Tim is, I shouldn't care. I shouldn't need a kid to look me up. I should do it out of the bottom of my heart say that's why God gave me paper.
Right, right.
You know, but there's a little thing inside me that says, my mother always said, you should say thank you.
Oh,
if my kids ever
thousands
forget
of dollars
that I send them to college,
right.
Yeah, there's going to be trouble.
Now,
Let me just tell you something, okay?
There's a good angle there.
Now, James, how old are your kids?
As far as I know, 21 and 18.
18 and 21?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You told me 17 earlier. Did he have a birthday?
He had a birthday on the way. I realized he had turned 18.
Oh,
I was like, oh, my God.
I was going to say, the kid had a birthday at 8:07.
About 5 minutes ago. Yeah, I should be there.
All right, so they grew up during the 90210 era.
They did.
They enjoyed that show. I bet that was a big deal around the house.
As a matter of fact, I kind of kept them away from the show. I know that sounds strange.
Is that right?
I did. We have the funkiest house and the kind of crazy, kooky life. And I was rebuilding a house at the time, my own. You know, I did all the work on it. And Xander is my oldest. But here's the deal. When he was 5, I guess, we had him on the show gripping and, you know, holding, you know, he used to sit and, you know, boom and all that sort of stuff. He loved that. And where is he now? He's a junior at NYU Film School. So
that's great. That, fantastic. You
know, now, a guy named Arsenio has to ask where the name Xander comes from.
Well, it comes from Alexander.
Okay.
And he wasn't an Alex. He was very much a Xander when we looked at this sort of ball of whatever it was as it arrived.
Placenta.
It was before the placenta.
Oh,
Arsenio. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Oh, you mean on video? I mean, on the monitor.
Yeah, that was on the monitor. Oh, and he said, hi. Yeah, but he wasn't an Alex. He was a Xander.
Xander.
Yeah. So, James, here's what I don't understand. Why is Xander spelled with an X?
No, we spell it with a Z.
Oh, you do spell it with a Z.
Yes, but Xander Berkeley.
But Xanadu, which is my cousin's name.
Yeah.
Xanadu Corolla Hall.
Yeah. Really?
I don't get it.
With an X?
Yeah.
And then there's Xander Berkeley, the actor.
But his parents are Muslims.
And Xavier.
And Xavier with an X. But our Xander's with a Z. Yes. And my other son's name is Gabe, who just won a very prestigious award at his school. He won what's called the Headmaster's Award, and it's a big deal, and I was very proud of him.
Well,
so Gabe,
good thing you didn't look at the video on Gabe and say, he doesn't look like an E.
Yeah, he
looks like Headmaster.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah, when we were young. And then, I went to a Catholic school. That was a whole different award. You know?
Yeah, we know how those awards are.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my wife. There you go.
But anyway, so I was driving into work tonight, and I was listening to Tom Likas talk about Ed McMahon, and I was, you know, stopped to get a cup of coffee, and somebody in the coffee shop was talking about it, and they were saying, you know, F this guy, you know, he's a Hollywood celebrity, should have all kinds of money, and people, I think, are very hostile towards, you know, anybody in Hollywood that goes broke. I think there's like there's no sympathy
there's
for
no
anybody.
Sympathy. Yeah,
you know, I mean, like when the Malibu Hills are on fire, you know, you get people saying, you know, ah, Christ, they live in Malibu. I hope they burn to death. You know, there's a lot of you know, crazy attitude and anger towards Hollywood when anything goes wrong.
And we're such nice people.
I know, it's unbelievable.
Now, some are.
You know? There's a few.
Yes.
I
mentioned Henry Winkler earlier.
You did. He's a great guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's a very nice guy.
And so we sent him to represent us.
And but his house didn't burn down, as far as we know, right?
Because you know what? If Henry's house burned down, I'd be out there in front of him myself with that Katzenberg foam. Did you see that? They didn't. Now, unless the news lied. Allegedly, they put a foam over Katzenberg's house to test this fire retardant foam that actually can be used in a Malibu fire.
Why did they choose Jeffrey Katzenberg's
home? I think he had the paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see.
He had the cheddar to make it happen.
And it worked, huh?
Yeah, I think it works. It works. But they can cover your house with a foam now. Now, this is what a foam guy told
but
me.
But
I saw it on the news.
Apparently happened, these mouse ears started to appear out of the house. That was the only problem. But otherwise, it worked.
That was next door at the Eisner residence.
All right. Does anybody have any sympathy for the Hollywood celebrities that go broke? I do, but maybe I'm a little too close to the
casino.
Yeah, right. All right, here are the phone numbers. 520-9710.
Send us
that's
money.
520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Of course, Arsenio Hall is with us, mm-hmm. and James Eckhouse is with us. They're doing a new play in town. We'll talk about that
and
shortly.
And Malcolm's in the house.
And Malcolm's in there, too. Look
Thank
at
you,
that.
Arsenio.
But I think Arsenio's now in this play.
CSI Miami.
Yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
You get to rehearsal right now.
Arsenio said that because he has my $50.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you know.
Right, we're going to take a small break. We'll come back and talk more about these celebrities that have gone bust up. Lindsay Lohan's broke. Yeah, we'll come back with that story. Look at that. Also, Britney Spears has been broke as well.
Hey, Lola Falana had some problems. I want to be current now.
All right, 520-9710, 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back. back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Arsenio Hall is with us every Wednesday. You in here next Wednesday, then?
Hey, man, you know me.
Nice.
You know, I'll be here on CP time, but I'll be here.
All right. James Eckhouse is with us.
Hello.
Yes, and also
nice
Malcolm Daenerys is with us as well. Two big studs in Hollywood.
Yeah. Boy, the biggest.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I wish I could wear sunglasses and look as cool as Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
Look at that right now.
I have glaucoma.
I would never look that good.
You got glaucoma.
Try these. Take these. Pass those around.
Yeah, this is not going to be a good look.
Go. I just went in the booth and listened to.
That's
there you go.
Not bad, man. Look at that.
James.
That
looked like a Russian
Arsenio
sort of, you know.
Pimp.
Yeah, there you go.
That wasn't the word you were going to use.
Well, not required, but it's along those lines.
Whoa.
Yeah, you just look like you're blind.
Whoa. Wow. Peter Sellers. He looks like Peter Sellers on acid or something like that.
Bait.
All right, we're going to get to
all
this
right, so
play here. But first, this you know, the big news today, I'm sorry.
you're
Malcolm
Daenerys
broke. No, Ed
you.
McMahon is busted up. He owes $600,000 on his house. $600,000 on his house. And yet not a lot of sympathy for Hollywood people when they go broke.
So we're going to start a call.
And Ed's one of the nice guys, though.
Yes.
That's what I'm telling you.
Ed's one of the greatest guys
he
around.
Is a if I went broke, I could see people saying, well, good for him.
Yeah.
That is good for him. You know, but I don't understand that kind of sentiment towards Ed.
I know. It sucks. But maybe Asia has some sympathy for him. Asia in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys.
Hey, baby.
Hey, Asia.
I actually do feel sorry for him because the more celebrity you have, the harder it gets. I know $5,000 would change my situation tomorrow. I couldn't imagine having to come up with $600,000. Plus, I can be anonymously broke, but Arsenio said something about a month ago. I think he said Bill Cosby told you that you can't be unfamous. So people know your face, and they're walking around laughing at you because now you're broke.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're laughing at Ed McMahon. I don't think he walks down the street, people are laughing at the guy. But it is curious that he had like a PR person come out and say, you know, I'm out. I'm being foreclosed on. I think the mold in the house had something to do with it. I think
the mold.
You didn't hear about that?
No, I did.
Yeah, he had mold in his house like 2 years ago in this $6 million house in Beverly Hills. And that was, I think...
See, right there, that sentence, the $6 million house in Beverly Hills, now that makes my relatives angry. justified or not, that makes a guy named Squiggy on the east side of Cleveland very annoyed.
$6 million, he's thinking, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but come on, we'll have him move out here and try to buy a house.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
but I'm going to give you his number.
Thank you.
But I think I had read something where he had mold in the house, and it was so bad that they had, you know, they redo the whole house. But the mold also killed his dog. I think he had a dog buzzing around, and mold got the dog, and the dog went down.
Wow.
So I don't think you can sell a house, even if it's $6 million, if you got the mold in it.
Tim, you know what I found to be very sad just in this room amongst these five men, one who is invisible
moldy,
over there.
Among moldy celebrities.
Right. You know what? We were a lot more sad when we found out the dog died of mold.
Yeah, did you notice that? We instantly went,
financial condition.
You know? No.
Yeah, I looked around the room. There's a policeman sitting across from Tim with no microphone who actually, you didn't cry like that when y'all beat Rodney King's ass. Look at him.
Yeah.
He had a tear like the Indian from the pollution commercial.
Yeah, the dog went down.
Oh,
dog
man.
Went down,
All right, let's talk to Tricia here. You're at 97.1. How are you?
Gentlemen, good evening.
How you doing, baby?
Hi. Oh, fine. You know, you guys don't realize this, but he broke his neck at McMahon.
Yes, we did realize that. Jerry, please.
Jerry,
that is shameful of you.
That's because Jerry don't know it.
No, he did break his neck when he was 83 and a half, I believe. He was 85 now. I think it was a year and a half ago.
Yeah, so it's like he can't work.
I know, but sweetheart.
Yes, dear.
You shouldn't have to work between 84 and 85 to pay the mortgage on your house.
Oh, sweetheart, I've got to take out a loan just across the street. I'm 54.
All right, but you weren't on 700 TV shows.
I know.
I'm just saying there's something else going on here. You know, I'm not sure what it is.
Bad investments.
But I don't know. I don't even think you could have bad investments.
Well, this is what I was saying before. When I talked to him, all he talked about was real estate. I'm telling you, it was like he seemed to know it. He had his fingers in everything. Now,
right.
You know, maybe it's partly because of the real estate bust right now. Maybe that's part of it.
And Tim, now you know this from some of your buddies. The quintessential reference towards Ed among stand-ups was that he had so many jobs. I mean, he had more jobs than a Jamaican woman. He had, you know, it was Budweiser. He had, you know, he had the video clip show. He had Star Search. Yeah. He had all Johnny's money.
Right,
you
he was doing that sweepstakes giveaway.
He had the sweepstakes. And it was like, yeah, and he had something Alpo. With Dick Clark. Him and Dick Clark co-hosted. It was like, damn, Ed, leaving job for Eddie Griffin. You know, everybody had a take on Ed having too many jobs. So money shouldn't have been a problem.
I don't think it is. Something else going on here. Yeah. All right, now there's a new play in town that all James right. Eckhouse and Malcolm Donaire are starring in.
Well, not quite. I'm directing
well,
it.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. James Eckhouse is directing it, and Malcolm is in the
Malcolm
story.
Is the Green Witch?
He's the Green Witch, that's right.
Okay, see we like to research so we can get the show right.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's right. And he shows up all of a sudden in the middle of it wearing a large black hat.
And ruby slippers.
All right, now you also wrote it, is that correct?
I did.
He
did.
Look at you, man.
He's right. Multi-talented.
And it's called In Heat.
In Heat.
And tell us real quickly what it's about.
It's a relationship piece that takes place in Los Angeles in one evening, one hot summer evening, and we follow the relationships of four different couples. Mm-hmm. And
It's got a really wonderful urban hip comedy feel to it. It's a lot of fun. It all gets tied together in the end. It's very sweet, but it's moving and it's extremely funny. And Malcolm has written a real gem of a piece. I have to say thank you, Malcolm.
Wait, right four,
and
four
not only that,
writers,
we have the most extraordinary cast. You know how every once in a while, I mean, you know, I've been in the business so long and you kind of get jaded and you think, you know, okay, another job, another 30 people to meet or another 20 people. These eight cast members, including Malcolm, are probably just the most wonderful cast I've ever had the
and
opportunity
who are
to direct.
They, James?
And the cast includes Rebecca Klingler. Thank you, Tim Conway.
You have to read it off the list, James? Yeah. Yeah.
I remember my cast. Thank you very much. Okay. And they're listening, too, right now on their little boombox. But we got Rebecca Klingler. We got John Lindstrom. We've got
Mary Mara, Kyle Hefner.
Wow.
And by the way, Kyle and I came out here from Chicago together. We were stand-ups in Rosemont, Illinois.
That's not true.
We came out here together, and
what happened to you, Arsenio? Kyle did so well. What happened to you?
You know what? Can you imagine when we first came out here and he got the role in Flashdance?
In Flashdance.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
We were so excited.
Oh,
so
man.
Excited.
That's
I mean,
so cool.
your best friend. We came out here together, though.
He is such a gem, and he is very funny. Shauna Sozin is in it.
Ooh, John
beautiful.
Kapalos.
John Kapalos is outrageously funny. And
I know a lot of these people. These are good
Robin
actors.
Thomas. Robin Thomas. Oh,
Robin
my God.
Thomas.
He's great. Yeah. Yeah.
And where's the website for people who want to go to this thing?
The website is plays411.com/inheat.
You know,
and you can reserve
plays
online.
411. You know, so you're like, you're thinking, emergency, emergency, I got to go
plays
see a play.
411.
Plays 411.
You know what? Hey, Malcolm, we have, when I say we, I mean what Tim has built. our audience skews.
You're part of it on Wednesday.
Very male, yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's two guys that tune in today to hear me. Yeah. the audience skews very male. Does your play satisfy the man, or is prostate in the city?
Yeah,
it skews everybody.
Gorgeous women in our play.
Everybody gets skewed in ours. And what's nice is this audience. It's from young to old. It's a great show.
So men of any age will enjoy this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. And if you go to plays411.com/inheat, I guess if you put promo code 210 in there, you get a discounted ticket.
Yeah, you get
half off.
You get half off.
That makes it a great evening.
I'm too stupid to get half off because this sounds so complicated to me. How do I get half off again?
You go to
show up and you say
you're
friend of Kyle Hefner's.
Place411.com. And then you'll see it. It's In Heat and then promo code 210.
And we can make reservations, Tim, also 323-960-7724.
And there's great restaurants nearby. It's on La Brea, 130 South La Brea at the Lost Studio. Mm-hmm. Which
was that, La Brea and what?
Between 1st and 2nd. Okay. It's Peggy Fury's old space, if you know Peggy Fury, the actor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's just a sweet part of town, and it's a lovely, lovely theater. We're just incredibly lucky.
And some nights, Kyle T. Hefner, one of your cast members, takes everyone a la Andy Kaufman to his home.
No, that's true.
After the play.
Actually, tonight, when we get back to rehearsals, mm-hmm. Kyle's going to take the whole cast out to
Did
drink.
Did you hear that,
Kyle?
Over to Ed McMahon's house because nobody's going to be there.
He's a mensch.
He is a mensch. Right. He's going to love it that we're here.
Did you know, I'll tell this story, when Kyle and I were doing Flashdance, I played the bad guy in Flashdance, and I go to hit Kyle actually in the film, and I actually tagged Kyle right in the mouth, and I knocked this guy down, and his we couldn't film afterwards because his mouth was out to here.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Can we say one thing about the play being based on true story? Is that the plays? This is really cool, actually.
Wait,
are there four writers? You wrote the whole thing.
I wrote the whole thing.
Right. And put it together. And
they're not three other guys someplace saying he's a lying ass.
It's all him.
All me.
Wow. So if you go there and you go, wow, this sucks, you can just blame you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and it's based. All these different things are based.
There's some outrageous stories.
Silly relation. This relationship that I was in for quite a few years, and all the kind of different experiences that I had with this lady.
Mm-hmm. Wow, look at you, man.
Yeah,
so she taller than you?
She was about my size.
Is that right? No, because I thought you went out with some chick who was a lot taller than you.
Me?
Yeah, didn't you?
I probably have.
Like, I heard a story that you like went out with a chick who was like 6'1" or so.
Me?
Where did you hear that?
Yeah,
wasn't that you?
Jesus Christ.
I heard from a hockey buddy of yours.
You're like a big stud in Hollywood, Malcolm.
You always come off a stud.
It's amazing.
And you always try to sell yourself as like this goofy underachiever.
Yiddish cup.
But you're a big stud, man.
You got to see him when you get a girl to the house and start showing magazines and photos.
Look at my chest collection.
I wish I was James Eckhouse.
All right, go see this play. It's called In Heat.
And
it's at plays411.com. And go get yourself some tickets. It opens this weekend, right?
Yeah,
it sure
and we
does.
Run for another 6 weeks.
Through July 20th. It's on Friday. Oh, we better say it's Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Friday night, Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Sunday night at 7 o'clock.
Perfect.
And it's just a perfect antidote to $5, $4 gas prices and all the other stuff that's going on. So,
all right, stick around. We're going to talk more about these busted up celebrities and this great play that's in town. It's called In Heat. James Eckhouse is with us.
Thank you.
Also, Malcolm Daenerys with us and Arsenio Hall. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Big night tonight. Arsenio Hall is with us.
Yes.
Also, James Eckhouse. He's director of a brand new play in town. And Malcolm Daenerys is the writer of the play. It's called In Heat. It's getting unbelievable reviews, even though it hasn't even opened.
That's right. And Arsenio's going to be the guest appearance one night. I've told him he's going to have to walk
on
stage.
Through, yeah.
He's going to walk through Kyle's scene. Yeah.
The surprise that you're going to get as a director is I'm going to walk on stage and somebody's going to say, I thought Wesley Snipes was in jail. You know, and it's not going to be as wonderful a moment as you plan.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We can block it.
All right. These celebrities that have gone broke here. Now, you know, Lindsay Lohan, I guess this wasn't recently.
Now, me and Lindsay have the same business manager, so that's kind of depressing for me.
I think this is a while ago, but she was she spent, according to this...
means I might be already broke.
I don't know what website this is from, but she spent $1 million on a single hotel bill.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it Chateau Marmont or something?
Serious, Dougie. Also, $140 on rehab.
Oh, that's because she bought the hotel.
Yes.
Who's the other one here? I was saying
Lola Falana.
Oh, yeah.
Lola Falana.
No, Britney Spears had money troubles
and Moses,
as well.
Moses had some money problems.
I remember that.
But she had to cough up $21 million. Britney Spears, when she busted up with...
Kevin
Federline.
Mr. Federline. Yeah.
All right. There's a lot of truth.
You're hearing the truth tonight.
Yeah. Bad vibes.
But Tim, can I ask a question? I don't know, how much money do you think that Ed McMahon seriously made all those years?
$100 million.
So how can $600,000 even...
Something's wrong, Malcolm. There's some part of the story
going on here.
Okay. Oh, that's what we're trying to find out. So somebody should call in with a part of the story.
Yeah,
that's
Ed's
what
listening.
I want
$600,000. That's like
smell a rat.
Drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it is odd. A friend of mine, Dave Harden, who owns Covenant Mortgage. He used to work for a savings and loan and has a pretty decent story about when it comes to celebrities and foreclosures. Dave, you there?
I'm here. How you doing,
Dave? How are you, sir?
Very good. Very
All
good.
Right. Now, tell us who you had to foreclose on in Hollywood.
Well, people probably recognize the address. It was a little house on Rockingham at about 360 North Rockingham.
Uh-oh.
You remember who owned that place?
O.J. Simpson, man.
Mm. Yeah, O.J. He lost a little lawsuit. We had a loan on the property. He lost a lawsuit, and he decided it didn't make sense for him to pay his mortgage anymore.
Now, did you have to personally tell O.J. to get out?
Well, you know, you tell that through attorneys and people. I mean, I didn't personally get a chance to say, I'm sorry, OJ, you know, the party's over, you got to move. I mean, it was a negotiated deal. I mean, we agreed that, you know, he stopped paying, and he agreed to leave the property at the time that we all agreed on, and, you know, and
he was gone, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of wild. I mean, I can't tell you how many calls we got from people that wanted to see that house. You know, we ended up fixing it up, spending several hundreds of thousands of dollars getting ready to sell, and we sold it to a guy, and the guy tore it down.
Oh, Jesus,
how's your house?
What did he owe on it? I mean, can you talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's public record. I don't think I'm, you know, what are they going to do? It's, I think,
he can kill you.
Yeah,
damn. I mean, read the papers. What can he do?
What can he do?
Well, he can cut your neck off. Cut your head
look
off.
At some of his friends.
Yeah, yeah. Who wouldn't want to kill me? I'm a mortgage broker, you know? Everybody wants to kill mortgage brokers these days. No, you know what? OJ just decided he owed us about a little over $2
million. $2 million, wow. $2 million.
And the house was obviously worth a lot more than that. But he, you know, his view was, so what? Because the lawsuit was there, and any money he made was going to settle the judgment.
Right.
I mean, that was one of the things I suggested that didn't go well in the boardroom. I suggested we sell the house. And whatever money we make, we give to the Goldmans. But it was a publicly traded company, and I was told I was being irresponsible.
Oh, I see. Right, yeah. How dare you have sympathy for that family?
Oh, hey. No. It was weird. We had a guard, actually, that we put on the property when OJ was living there.
Really?
And to protect the property. And
right.
He has an interesting story. He told us one time OJ came out, and he had a buddy with him, and the buddy went on the outside of the fence and had a video camera. And OJ enacted this raising of a "Don't Tread on Me" flag, and the guy filmed it. And OJ was yelling at him like he was a tourist and get out of here. You know, it was kind of interesting.
Oh, it was his buddy though that did that.
Yeah, he staged the whole thing. It was kind of, you know.
I've
whatever.
Done that with my wife though.
You know what? I've heard about the role plays that you guys go through. And she... who hasn't done that with your wife?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh. Absolutely. You bet, dude. All right. Well, that is an amazing story. I mean, you know, to be that close to that whole deal. How much did that house sell for eventually?
You know, eventually that sold for, I think, around $3.5 million.
Wow.
You know, so it was, you know, there was value in it. I mean, it's, you know, and the guy that owns it now, it's worth a whole lot more than that. But he, you know, he rebuilt the whole thing. You know, it was kind of an odd time. I remember when we were going through that, I was going through the walkthrough with OJ's people the very last day. And they'd cleared everything out. And I told his sister, I said, you sure you got everything out of here? Absolutely. We're not going to come back. We got everything out of here. And, you know, this was a time when hard copy was paying big bucks for anything.
Right.
I walked through his family room. I push on a cabinet door, and behind this cabinet door is his entire collection of home movies.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, got little notes about the kid's first baptism.
Oh, man.
And I mean, for a split second, I think I'm rich. I made a fortune.
Right, yeah.
We could pay for the house, but, you know, the right thing to do was I called her over and said, look at this. And she almost choked right
Yo,
there.
Yo, man, you got to put Joe Francis' number on speed dial because he made the wrong move.
Oh, that's classic.
I do have it on speed dial, but I didn't think about it in those films.
Dave, we thank you for calling. Buddy,
all righty. Take
I'll
care.
See
Thanks,
you later
Dave.
Tonight, man.
Love the show, buddy.
All right, there he goes, Dave Harden. Everybody with the Covenant Mortgage. That's been odd. You know, tell OJ to get the hell out,
even by phone or through another person.
Yeah. You know? Now, are you still friends with OJ, or are
you know what's weird? I've
because you guys are real close.
I never had
everybody leaned in closer. Yeah.
Oh,
everybody just leaned
in.
There's real close.
There are very few people that I don't know. But I really kind of don't know OJ. And I say kind of because I met him once. I met him drinking. We were at a club on Sunset near Doheny, catty corner to the Jaguar dealership over there. You know that
right,
issue,
yeah,
9200 building?
Right.
Okay, we're in a club down under that big building. OJ comes over, me, Johnny Gill, and Ricky Bell from New Edition are doing shots.
Wow.
So OJ sits down, he's with one guy, we're doing shots. He gets really drunk after about an hour. Nicole Simpson and Faye Resnick come over and sit with us, and they're over in another part of the club. I realize they have their own booth over in another part of the club, and they come over to make sure OJ was cool. You all right, Juice? Blah, blah, blah. They talk for a minute, then they go back and hang out with these guys. Obviously, they're still friends, but they've gotten divorced. But OJ starts to talk after she leaves. And he says, there'll never be another woman like that.
Is that right?
I'll never love anyone as much as I love her. And he talked to me a little bit. And I'm saying I didn't know him. This is the first time I ever hung out with him.
Right.
I'd never had him as a guest even on the old talk show. We talk. He talks about how much he loved her. I remember that night how good she looked. She had a black sweater, nice guns, really fine. And Faye Resnick was off the chart, this girl with her.
Right.
You know, one of them girls where you say, where's she from? You know, I mean, because it looks like her, right. her father was black and her mother was God.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she was so fine, you know. And
they needed to leave early to catch a flight to Chicago?
Well, you know what was bizarre? I mean, that year was when Nicole Simpson was killed.
Wait, it happened the same year?
Same year.
Wow.
Same year. I mean,
were you taking
months
him down
later.
To the station for any kind of?
Well, you know what's weird? Faye Resnick talks about it in her book, and that's the only time I've ever heard about that night. Faye mentions that I advised him and told him things about his relationship.
Did you give him advice?
I just listened, man. I didn't see a killing coming.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I just listened. We talked. He was really drunk. The only thing I remember is he was spitting, and at that time, this was still the juice, yeah. You know? And my thing was like, wow, OJ was spraying me, you know?
I mean, the moral of the story
is famous.
Is if you're at a bar and Arsenio Hall comes and tries to give you marital advice,
right.
Best you just get up and just walk away,
because you'll end up killing somebody.
Because it's not going to be good what's going to happen.
If your husband, no Dr. Phil. If your husband comes home one night and says, hey, I just ran into Arsenio at a bar, move out. Move.
Go out of the back. Don't you go wrong way.
All right. Go see this new play. It's called In Heat, and it's on La Brea there.
It's 130 South La Brea, but don't see it right now. See it Friday, Saturday, Sunday night.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's running for
July 20th.
Wow, look at you. Big run there.
Yeah.
And
maybe longer if you guys will show up. People
will
come.
Love to go see this play. All right, James Eckhouse is directing it. Malcolm Dinar wrote the play, and there are spectacular actors and actresses in it.
They are.
And we're not just saying this because these guys sit in front of us, but these are two really normal dudes in Hollywood.
With my dress on?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Hey, and by the way, James,
there's not an ounce of you know, like attitude or superiority or anything. These are two just, you know, guys that enjoy Hollywood. And,
by the way, Tim just gave me that $50 back.
Thank you very much.
What a guy.
I know. I'd hear about it forever if
it's
I didn't.
Oh, how dare you.
Malcolm will be talking about this for years to come, I can tell you.
I said to Malcolm during the commercial break, he says, you going to the play? And I said, if I give you this $50, will you stop bothering me about going to the play? He said, you got
it. All right, fine.
That's right.
Okay.
Take your wife to see it.
Yeah, I'm going to go take my wife to see it.
Oh, it's fun. It's a great date night. It's a great date.
All right,
night.
In
really
Heat.
Is.
And what's the phone number there, Malcolm?
The phone number is...
It's like a 323 number.
Yeah, 323-960-7724. That's, you can make reservations at that number.
What is it, 323?
323-960-7724.
Or call Malcolm at his house.
Can you say that again, Tim? What's that number?
All right, we'll give it up. Put it on our website.
And James is not an actor in it. He just directs.
He's directing.
I'm just directing this. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a hell of a guy, too. Nice to meet both of you.
Nice, I've
known Malcolm for a while, but James, nice to meet you, man.
Hey, Tim, Kings all the way next
go
year.
Kings,
huh?
Go Kings, go. Yeah, you betcha, man.
And Dodgers.
All right. All right, it's the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we have news with Gina Grad. Gina, what's going on in the news, baby?
Well, the Lakers are all fired up for the championships, and we might just have a Democratic nomination for the presidency.
Whoa.
This and more after the break.
All right.
Did it, finally.
And then don't forget, the David Letterman's top 10 list is coming up immediately here, and is the top 10 things overheard at Hillary Clinton's campaign headquarters.
Yay.
You got to love that. Tim Conway Jr. and Arsenio Hall. Mm-hmm. And we're live at 97.1 Free FM.